Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective, and more affordable than you might think. Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
Welcome to Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. I'm Gardner Goldsmith, the creator of the Liberty Conspiracy, which streams every Monday through Friday live starting at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Rumble, Rockfin, and on my Twitter / X feed, that being at Gard Goldsmith. You can also find the show anytime after the fact on any of those platforms. And if you're looking for textual information, head over to my Substack, that being the Gardner Goldsmith Substack, and every Sunday you'll receive the Sunday News Assembly, at least 20 stories pertaining to individual liberty, plus expanded contextual information that helps draw out long-lasting lessons that can help us expand the purview and the number of people who believe in freedom. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Let's get started. We're going to turn to the live version of a song that we often use for immigration. All right. With real footage on this official version from Iceland. Crazy. What an insane time. The only thing I wouldn't have liked being, at one of those shows or whatever, if there were like stinky, unwashed hippies. But, some of the hippies cross the genres and stuff like that. These guys might have been a little bit too hard. And, of course, the rise of Zeppelin sort of came as the hippiedom sort of slid down the toilet as it should have. But the hippies brought us some interesting psychedelic stuff. I'll say that. But I didn't like the folky. No, thank you. Please. Peter, Paul, and Mary. Oh, man. Jeez. I think I'd rather listen to show tunes on Recycle for 5 hours than one Peter, Paul, and Mary song. I don't know. I don't want to test that. Either want to be torture. Let's turn to Howie Carr for some fun information as we see the ad from a Thrift Books that always pops up for me because Thrift Books is getting a lot of my money nowadays. All right. Here it is, everybody. You saw this. I retweeted this twice, actually. Re-X'd it. Howie Carr has a piece on all the freebies for the migrants in Massachusetts. Now, again, I am a voluntarist, so therefore I oppose the state. I also recognize the benefits of open borders and the allowance of people to be able to make contracts with whom they want to contract. The government artificially decreasing the number of people with whom you can associate means eventually you're going to pay more, and they're going to be doing things that will protect certain groups and do things for certain favors for certain groups. So you should have that ability to be able to choose. You can save your money and then reinvest it in something else. As I said, when I did a study of time periods in the United States where they saw high amounts of immigrants coming in, I thought, okay, what do we see for native workers? Did they have higher unemployment or did they not? Well, it turns out somebody already had done that study, the great Julian Simon, the author of The Ultimate Resource 1 and 2, which is The Human Mind. He's the one who had that bet against Paul Ehrlich, the neo-Malthusian, who said, after a certain number of years, let's bet, the two of them said, let's bet to see if a basket of goods on the stock market are actually more plentiful or less plentiful. And, given inflation, more expensive or less expensive. And Simon said that Simon says. Simon said that human ingenuity is economics is the application of human ingenuity to a world of limited resources to discover new resources and turn things that weren't resources into new resources. The ultimate resource, when faced with that scarcity, is the human mind. And only through the competitive market process can people express where they would like other folks to apply their human minds and their skills to things that they value. That is the expression of freedom that brings us recognition of what is a resource to a person. And then the more people who recognize that resource, the more widely spread it becomes, and the more people will enter the market to provide it, the more they compete against each other, the more they drop prices. So having workers compete against each other is a good thing for the consumer, and eventually it's also a good thing for the worker. This is what people often miss, that last part of it. They worry that the worker's not going to get work. Well, in that case, why don't you just make it harder to do everything? And then you have plenty of people employed. Like I said, productivity gains are the same thing. The first day in class, when I talk to the students about economics, I say, what are the simple machines? Let's go through these. Archimedes described these things, ancient Greece, but they were discovered way before that, not through intention, but primeval man, ancient man, would use an inclined plane or a lever without inventing it, saying, I'm going to figure out a way to do this lever. I'm going to invent the lever. No, they just realized that if they increased the distance over which they were doing their force, the force units could be less with more units. You would get the same work done, but it wouldn't be as hard. Now you can let one person with a tool get something up that formerly took two to lift. It's more distance on an inclined plane, but you're getting the work done. Now that guy's free. He's unemployed, but he's free to do something else. Now you're increasing productivity. You've got the inclined plane. This guy can do the work of two people, and the other guy can go do something else, right? Cool. You're decreasing your costs. Consumers want to decrease their costs. They don't want to increase their costs. They want to have money left over. They don't want to work harder for what they get in their lives. They want to work less. That's what all of human action inside economics tends to be. If you watch it, you can see that that's the way it seems to go, right? The epistemology of observing human action is that humans tend to try to decrease toil and increase their benefits. So if you can get your labor for less, just like you could get, say, the products that you need to work on for less, that's good. That's a good thing because you have money left over, and all that money can then be leveraged to start new businesses. And it's the new businesses that employ new people. Why do you want to keep people stuck being less productive when they could be more productive with fewer people and allow us to take that productivity gain and apply it someplace else, just like those two guys with the inclined plane? It is utter, it is axiomatic basic economics. So I am in favor of open borders. I'm in favor of 100% complete free trade because I don't have any right to tell my neighbor you can't trade freely and peaceably with that other person. If I can do it across national borders, why can't I do it across state borders or town borders or whatever? Just make sure everybody on my street only deals with people on my street. Where does it stop? The absurdity of it becomes revealed, right? And national interests and all those other expressions are simply another expression of, well, we know what is an essential industry and what is a non-essential industry. I used to have conversations with Pat Buchanan about this all the time. I couldn't shake him out of it, especially when he was getting a lot of support from unions and auto industries. But he was pleasant in the conversations. And again, you know, he's a small government guy in many cases, but he did think that government should be involved with picking winners and losers when it came to tariffs and blocking foreign goods. Now, there's the added mixture there, unfortunately, of the government burdening so many American businesses around here that they are not as competitive as foreigners. And people do say, well, what about foreign countries like China, where we hear that they use slave labor from prisons and things like that? I don't want to tell my neighbor, I'm going to decide for you what you can investigate and not investigate. I'm going to close those doors for you. You've got to use your moral agency, not me. Okay. And the fact that you're buying from one person doesn't mean that you're harming another person. Doesn't mean that you're engaging in the positively or negatively aggressive act of harming somebody else. That would mean that women have to date every guy who has to come up and ask them, who comes up and asks them to date them, right? That you're somehow harming them by saying, no, thank you, I'd rather freely associate with this person. How long? How much? How often? It's not for me to decide. Just leave people alone. And that applies to the border. Unfortunately, the state is involved with guarding the border. And in this case, it's the central government, as I mentioned. That's a bad idea. It's unconstitutional. It's supposed to be the states. And we see that with this central planning, everybody argues over how it's going to be done. And of course, the artifice of a border that is run through the state means that all the taxpayers are forced to pay for it. And then the politicians who aren't using their own money decide it's going to go here. How do you know anybody wants it to go there? You don't. You force them. You just force them all to pay. And anybody who doesn't want to pay is still going to have to pay. So political borders are an artifice. They're frauds. They don't represent any value or any representation that actually any person, any single person can be cited to say, yes, I want my money put there, because the state takes it from them without their choice. And it gives you the options. You're going to have a police this way by Joe Biden. You're going to have a police this way by Donald Trump. What's going to happen? Well, of course, conservatives have fallen into this because they think that the one thing the U.S. government is supposed to do is defend the nation, and they think that that is defending the nation. Well, there's a process in the Constitution, this being an anarchist discussing it, that outlines and delineates what is supposed to be done on the border, and then when the feds can come in. And they can't come in unless a state legislature or the governor asks them to come in, or if they declare a war against an invading army and say that there is an invasion, or they claim that they're not members of an army from an invading state and uniformed under the colors of the state. They are just people coming in. Therefore, they can do letters of marque and reprisal and hire mercenaries on the federal level. Okay, that's all they can do. That's it. This is unfortunate because it now has blossomed and manifest into these very things on the state level, where they have so-called sanctuary cities. And the governor of Massachusetts, when she was running for governor, Maura Healey, and the mayor of Boston, you see her there, Michelle Wu, they both are very in favor of sanctuary cities. But bubbling under the surface was their knowledge that they wanted to get money from Alejandro Mayorkas and the Biden administration to cover their costs. So they called it an emergency. And this is what they've done in New York and New York State and New York City and so on, out in Illinois. They keep doing this because they know they're going to get a big payoff from the government, which isn't supposed to have anything to do with this. Howie Carr has put together a list of some of the things that you can get if you're in Massachusetts, that the governor is going to hand out to you. You can find this list on the first tweet that I put out about this. His second tweet goes directly to his story link here at thehowiecarshow.com. You get free hotel rooms at $150+ a day if you're an illegal migrant. Again, this is based on the federal government's terminology of illegal. This is supposed to be left up to the states, but this is the way they're working in Massachusetts, because when Maura Healey declared that there was an emergency, that kicked in a 1986 statute under the Dukakis administration when he was governor, that they have to cover these people claiming sanctuary. So they have to give them room and board, all that stuff, food, that sort of stuff. Three meals a day at $64 per person per diem. Free on-site medical and dental services, including condoms. Special diet for Ramadan. Free same-day dry cleaning with free pickup and delivery. Free housekeeping twice a week. Free cell phones, chargers, and charging ports. Free tablets and iPads. Free clothing, new and used. Everyone got new free winter coats, gloves, and shoes. You get free toiletries, toothpaste, deodorant, special so-called ethnic shampoos, skin cream, aspirin, toothbrushes, and feminine hygiene products. And they have these things for kids, too. For children, they have free diapers, wipes, diaper pails, cribs, bassinets, playpens, baby bottles, baby formulas, free car seats, free new mother bags, playrooms for young illegals with free toys and books, which must be replaced often because of destruction. Yes, we're on the heels of destruction, right? So, or on the edge of destruction, I can't remember. So, again, like I said, if you want to get in the gravy, thanks to the woman who's cited right there, looking very much like she's in one of her Beneath the Planet of the Apes gowns underground under New York City, just pretend that you speak a foreign language and then head on over. Finally, I want to mention, not that any of the people who will be collecting off the government dole on anything, and it's not just foreign people coming in, you know, welfare is immoral, whether it's done through for Americans or anybody, and it comes on so many different levels, whether it's education for kids, and God forbid anybody speak up against government-run education, you must hate kids, or it's health care or food, or it's government welfare for various businesses like, you know, EVs, or even decades and decades ago, some of the setups that the U.S. government and the British government made for some of the oil companies in the Middle East. None of it is moral. Now let's look at, of course, how some people have been trying to get moral ways to earn a living, and they're being driven out of the cities in which they've been working. AEIR reported on this on the 22nd, and I was going to report it, but we were so full of everything that I didn't get to it. And I want to compliment James Harrigan for getting this out there. He writes, last week, the Minneapolis City Council passed an ordinance to increase rideshare driver pay by $1.40 per mile and 51 cents per minute while carrying a passenger. Mayor Jacob Fry vetoed the measure, but the council took little time in overriding that veto in a 10-3 vote. Quote, this is a David and Goliath story, said Robin Wansley, a council member who helped author the policy rather than opening up her own and starting her own competitive business, writes Mr. Harrigan. He says, and she's right. It is obviously a David and Goliath story. She just has the players incorrectly cast. The situation in Minneapolis is a near-perfect microcosm of the minimum wage debate as it has played out in the United States over the past couple of decades. Actually, more than that, going back 70 years almost. The fact that rideshare drivers are independent contractors, that is notwithstanding. The players are always the same, capital, labor, and politicians. Capital wants labor costs as low as they can possibly be. Why? Because consumers want labor costs as low as they can possibly be. Labor wants because the capital people are also consumers, and they have to respond to the final consumer. The final employer is you at the final buying end. You're the employer. So if you want to get a deal, how dare you? You money-grubbing slug, right? Labor wants wages as high as they can. That terminology obviously used in various forms by the politicians who take your money without your choice. Labor wants wages as high as they can be. And politicians, now what is that as high as they can possibly be, he writes. What does that mean? As high as they can possibly be while retaining their jobs and not seeing the jobs go to competitors. Right, right. And who decides that? The consumer. And politicians want to appear as though they're doing the right thing in order to win or even buy votes. It has ever been so. So what has happened in Minneapolis and what typically happens? In short, workers either agree to take jobs at the wages they are offered or they don't. If enough of them refuse, wages necessarily rise. Why? Because when the supply of something goes down and demand doesn't change, the price rises. This is as true of labor as it is of Taylor Swift tickets. Left to their own devices, employers and workers will inevitably come to an answer that serves both of their interests. But that sort of mutually beneficial arrangement has never made politicians all that happy, as it inevitably proves that people don't need them all that much. So what do? They mandate things, because all government can do in the end is mandate or forbid things. In the case of labor, government mandates certain wages, regardless of what the parties to the employment agreement would have agreed to if left alone. This happens at the federal level, where the minimum wage is $7.25 an hour, at the state level, where it varies from the federal minimum wage to Washington's $16.28 per hour mark, and in Washington, D.C., which has the highest minimum wage in the United States at $17 an hour. When costs go up, the money to pay for the increase can only come from one of three places: customers paying higher prices, business owners earning less profit, or workers being laid off, losing work hours, or losing benefits. This is as true of labor costs as it is with hamburger meat, electricity, or truck tires. In the end, costs are costs. And in Minneapolis, the politicians went too far. How do we know? Uber and Lyft both announced within days of the city council's decision that they would cease operations in the Twin Cities. There you go. Buddy Rich is what I was thinking about, the drummer. Buddy Rich. Got to see Buddy Rich and his band. They were great. My cousin actually took drum lessons with Buddy Rich. My cousin Danny. Danny Butcheroni, son of Dan Butcheroni, the boxer known as the Butcher in the 50s, was going to go up against, I think, Hurricane Jackson. And got drugged by one of his coaches, and he quit that afternoon. Said, okay, I'm out of here. Freegan. Freegan and Rumble says, Taylor Swift is a boy. Oh, man. That got me laughing. Feel free to drop jokes, anything, comments, links, anything you want inside X on that side column thing, and inside Rockfin and Rumble as well. I really appreciate everybody. Now, got to say, as we head out of the flash, I want to mention to everyone, I really appreciate all the hard work and spreading the word about the show. We've become so massive. We have such a giant staff. You got it. We got a new advertiser. It's one of these sort of like universal gadgets. So I want to let you know about them. Check them out. I think you're going to dig them. Here we go.
Hey, this is Vince McMahon. Wow. Look, I got to talk fast because this headset's killing me. A long time ago, politicians discovered the most amazing cleaning product, the Con Wow. Just look at all the abuse this Con Wow can take. You can use it to clean up spills, clean cons, and look how it absorbs this blood and saliva from a detainee held by the CIA. Con Wow can do it all. Be wrung out and used again any way the government wants. It wasn't designed this way, but politicians are so inventive, this super malleable document can be used for anything. Healthcare? Con Wow. Bailouts? Con Wow. Look, you can even pick up urine spilled from this government-funded artwork. Can an ordinary constitution do this? No way. Con Wow does it all. Listen, you gotta call now, got it? Because the Con Wow might not be available much longer. Call right away and we'll even give you this great set of media blinders. They're perfect for the beach, ball game, or to make yourself and the populace oblivious to government crimes. It's all yours for just $19.95. You gotta call now. NSA wiretappers are standing by.
Sounds like a deal to me, everybody. I'm digging that big time. What do y'all think? You got to get your Con Wow as soon as possible. It's a great promise, and it has definitely stopped them, right? We'll return with more Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA News Update. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg says it's going to take a long time to clean up and rebuild the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. The federal government's $60 million help is only just a down payment. The largest crane on the eastern seaboard expected to arrive to start cleanup. President Joe Biden held a fundraiser in New York City along with his pals, former Presidents Barack Obama and Bill Clinton. The event raising more than $25 million, making it the most successful single political fundraiser ever in terms of dollars raised. A bus carrying worshipers on a long-distance trip from Botswana to an Easter weekend church gathering in South Africa plunged off a bridge on a mountain pass, killing at least 45 people. Corey Myers, USA News.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritional meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. Welcome back to Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. Let's talk about this omnibus budget, of course, that late Thursday they passed, and then we played some segments. You saw Rand Paul talk about it goes on like the psychedelic first. It just keeps going on and on and on. Well, I got to write about this yesterday, so here it is. And there are some other parts of this that I want to make sure that I add to this about the warmongering stuff and the invite of Netanyahu. They're all mixed in with our wonderful House Speaker, Mike Johnson. What a guy, huh? What a guy, what a hero. So I wrote, dismissing dark portents of federal debt growing by nearly $1 trillion every quarter. It's every 100 days, everybody. Disregarding these sinister clouds of price increases, job and productivity losses, and opportunity costs that smother the U.S. economy because of all the previous U.S. budgets going back decades. House Speaker Mike Johnson, Republican of law, Senate Majority Leader Chuckie Schumer. No, he's not very funny, just like his niece of New York, and Minority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky and their cronies in Congress late Thursday and Friday passed their omnibus, the glorious second half of their U.S. budget after passing on March 8th, their stopgap first half. Oh, remember those good old days, everybody? Remember they're like, this is the first half. We got to get it done. March 8th. Wow, we're all going to die. The world's going to explode. We're going to step on a crack. Your mother's back's going to go crack-a-lacka. And then they did it. And they're like, oh, we'll be back. I'm like, no, you don't have to come back. We're fine. They're like, no, we'll be back. And they came back. Yeah, they came back. So let's continue. You likely won't be surprised to know that both the so-called discretionary and non-discretionary halves of these were filled with enough pork to fill billions of slaughterhouses. But you might be surprised to discover that many of those who voted for the poison actually have the gall to claim that they're doing their constitutional duty. Oh, hey, they published this on YouTube already. It's sitting right in front of my face. It's not out on Rumble yet. So let's check it out. There'll probably be like one of those YouTube ads. This is going to be my first blush. Let's check out what the editors did today. I shot the videos this morning and sent them down and stuff like that. So let's see.
House Speaker Mike Johnson, Republican of Louisiana. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, Democrat of New York. Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, Republican of Kentucky, and their cronies in Congress late Thursday and Friday passed their omnibus, the glorious second half of their U.S. budget after passing on March 8th their stopgap first half. Now, you likely won't be surprised to know that both the so-called discretionary and non-discretionary halves of these were filled with enough pork to fill billions of slaughterhouses. But you might be surprised to discover that many of those who voted for this poison actually have the gall to claim they're doing their constitutional duty. Hi, everyone. I'm Gardner Goldsmith for MRC TV. And here's the story. As the LA Times observes, quote, the House approved a $1.2 trillion package of spending bills Friday, just a few hours before funding for some key federal agencies was set to expire, a long overdue action nearly 6 months into the budget year that will push any threats of a government shutdown to the fall. The bill passed by a vote of 286 to 134 and now moves to the Senate, where leadership hoped for a final vote later Friday. More than 70% of the money would go to defense. Would it? Really? At least there were some souls inside those august halls of filth and pork who actually called out some of the more insane earmarks that the majorities in both houses passed. Rand Paul, Republican of Kentucky, Friday on the Senate floor noted how little time the members were given to read the so-called budget. Quote, when did we get it? At 2:32 a.m. on Thursday. And now it's rush, rush, rush. We got to get that money out the door.
Here's a couple of the new earmarks that are in this bill. $2 million for the construction of a kelp and shellfish nursery in Maine. Another earmark that we discovered in this bill is $1.5 million to encourage video gaming in New York. $249,000 for the Baltimore Symphony. There's $1 million for Cambridge, Massachusetts Community Center to install some solar panels. Now look, I like solar panels as well as anybody. I think it's really kind of cool to get some of your energy from solar panels. But this is a rich community. This is where Harvard is. This is where, you know, some of the largest, most successful corporations and research are in Boston. You think they can't pay for solar panels? Solar panels aren't the general welfare. Our founding fathers said that all spending and taxation had to be for the general welfare, and they went one step further. In Article 1, Section 8, they laid out all the powers of Congress, all the things that we're allowed to do. And not listed in those was to buy solar panels for one town.
Rand also noted, quote, we have a $34 going on $35 trillion debt. The biggest payment now in our budget within about a year is going to be the interest on that debt, end quote. Congressman Robert Aderholt, Republican of Arkansas, offered additional coloring to all of that, citing just a few of the graft destinations that traditional moral people might find offensive, and noting the politicians who pushed for them. And the list goes on and on. You can check out the link in my written piece to see that. The Rhino Democrat majority Well, they even killed amendments that would have stopped Biden from using tax cash to facilitate migrant flights around the U.S. And they killed an amendment to stop CBDC, central bank digital currency, being used by the government to replace cash. I think we know where they want to go. But, you know, I'd like to stress that I think that one of the key takeaways that I'd like to share is that these high profile earmarks and offensive handouts shouldn't be seen in isolation, as if other less immediately offensive recipients of the graft can be given a pass. Even the so-called non-discretionary spending is composed of a motley assortment of mostly unconstitutional federal programs funded through the immorality of taxation and its evil partner, inflation-feeding borrowing, that eventually will be paid with more taxation and more borrowing. This new budget is a financial, fiscal, constitutional disaster. But moreover, it sheds light on the moral bankruptcy that lies at the heart of all assumptions that politicians can somehow take my neighbor's earnings, that they can do it for any reason, especially that they can fatuously claim it's for our benefit. If I can't morally steal from you or threaten you to pay me what you earn or a portion of what you earn, well, my admittance into a gang called Congress or my vote for it to be done doesn't make the coercion and theft any more moral. Thanks for watching, everybody. Please like and subscribe. Find us at Rumble where they don't.
Well, that one, I got to say, that's the first time in a while that I've found numerous areas where I'm not too satisfied with the edits. I didn't like the use of the visual of Bitcoin because that's completely different than CBDC. And this is one of the disadvantages of actually not being in the offices with those guys and, you know, being able to, you know, have the video editor call me over and say, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? Which is, you know, the way it would normally go. I'm just going to have to ride with that one. I might not even promote that particular video because the written article had a lot more in there. And one of the major portions of it was the money that already has been given to Ukraine and the money that is inside this that also goes to Israel, and people aren't discussing it. So I want to go back because the printed piece actually does have this in there. And so you'll see here, as I said, the LA Times observes the House approved a $1.2 trillion package of spending bills Friday, just a few hours before funding for some key, they call them key federal agencies, was set to expire. A long overdue action nearly 6 months in the budget year that will push any threats of a government shutdown to the fall. Oh, glory be. The bill passed by a vote of 286 to 134 and now moves to the Senate. And, of course, it was passed by the Senate, where the leadership hoped for a final vote later Friday. And, of course, they got it. More than 70% of the money would go to defense. And this is a major portion that they cut out of the video. So I want to express it here to you. And please spread the word, everybody. Dingodare on X says, Debtor Nation. Bang, right on. Good to have you there, Dingodare. I love that handle. That's great. So I said, they said more than 70% of the money would go to defense. So I said, would it? Really? Can anyone with a straight face actually claim that the U.S. government has been engaged in defense of us, our rights, or the Constitution for the past 70 years? In February, both houses passed $61 billion to deliver weapons and other so-called aid to Ukraine, evidently the 51st state, and $14 billion to send similar lucre to Israel, the 52nd state, in complete contravention of the U.S. Constitution. And this budget sees more foreign shellouts. So what exactly are those sworn Constitution defenders defending? Oh, by the way, everybody, I do want to mention real quick, tomorrow, 5 a.m. U.S. time, East Coast, they're going to have the decision on extradition on Julian Assange. I just want to make sure I mention that. I want to talk about it again before the end of the show, but I wanted to do it a couple times during the show so people have that info. If you're probably seeing it out there. People are, you know, tweeting and putting stuff out there on Instagram and stuff, I'm sure. So taking a longer term philosophical and logical tack here, I wrote about this budget. How can any sane U.S. civilian adjudge as defense of his or her rights a political machine that can at any time demand more of his or her property and wealth while fatuously claiming it's for his or her safety? And then I said, some people correctly call that what it is. Government is a protection racket. But with serious looks and self-congratulating rhetoric, these thieving neo-mafia collectivists arrogantly claim that they're doing us a service and that we who want to be left alone are the bad guys and opponents of progress, opponents of their bald face of lawlessness. We're the ones who put Americans at risk. Sure. At least there were some souls inside these august halls of filth and pork who actually called them out. So you see Rand Paul there, and they have my quotes. But they extended the quote into some of the information that I covered last week when we played Rand talking about the general welfare. As I mentioned, that's a canard. It's logically unsustainable, and it collapses under its own weight because welfare is subjectively determined by every individual. The state can't determine what a general welfare is other than leaving people alone to determine what their welfare is individually. And from there, that is how you can promote a general welfare. The government deciding what is general welfare means the government is deciding for you and can decide against your personal welfare for the welfare of the gestalt, of the group. It's consequentialist. It's utilitarian. Its ends justifies the means. It's immoral. And it has nothing to do with the protection of rights. Because, of course, the state doesn't protect rights. The entire superstructure of mentality is behind exactly that, that you can be roped into this for your so-called protection, and they'll determine what your protection is. It's the same thing, just reworded in a different way rather than general welfare. It's public protection or public health. None of it is true. It's all false. It's all fake. It's nothing. And it's a lie. It's the great lie of the state. And we'll continue, you know, in its all its rhetorical permutations. And so we go through a lot of these things that you saw Rand discuss. Then I did want to mention some of these, though, from Robert Aderholt of Arkansas. They just flashed these on the screen. When I shot the video, I actually recorded every one of these things. And I wanted to see if they wanted to pick or choose and put any of these in here, because there are a lot from a lot of different states. So we've got this person named Senator Reed, a Democrat of Rhode Island, and Senator Whitehouse, Democrat of Rhode Island, $1.8 million for Women and Infants Hospital, which provides late-term abortions. Then my old friend, who first time I ever spoke to her, she slammed the phone down on me when she was a state senator. Now U.S. Senator, millionaire Jean Shaheen gives $650,000 of your dollars and your progeny's dollars, if they can survive the jabs and all the other stuff, get them away from those, to Dartmouth Hitchcock Nashua. I know exactly where it is. And they routinely provide late-term abortions. Then Senator Gillibrand, Democrat of New York, $146,000 to Apicha Community Health Center in New York for LGBTQ family services to youth. Ed Markey had an interesting run-in with him on a plane one time. And he got $850,000 for an LGBTQ senior housing service thing in Massachusetts and for free drug needle exchange, plus some illegal migrant stuff. Then there's Booker. Yes, that very, very not egotistical guy in any way whatsoever. His Spartacus moment. He came out with $400,000. He once said, I think this is my I'm Spartacus moment, as Mr. Spartacus came out with $400,000 for Garden State Equality Education Fund of New Jersey. That's LGBTQ youth, because, you know, it's awesome. And as I mentioned, the list goes on and on, just like Rand said, or the psychedelic furs. It goes on and then it goes around again. And again, if you want to get a great song about British politics or about the party life of art schnobblers in London, it works on two levels. It goes on. Psychedelic Furs, second album. The album's called Talk, Talk, Talk. Has Pretty in Pink on it, Dumb Waiters, She Is Mine, and It Goes On is incredible. And he says, you know, this guy who lives downstairs has parties all the time. Political parties as well, where they put on wigs and stuff. It could be hair wigs or wigs as in W-H-I-G, the political party, so they can be themselves. He calls you this and calls you that. You lose your memory. Political rhetoric, politics, can't pandering to people. He goes, all this goes on all the time, so I don't go down there. Right on, Richard. Way to go. So I said the Rhino Dem majority even killed amendments that would have stopped Biden from using tax cash to facilitate migrant flights around the U.S. and to stop CBDC. And they did something else that I thought was very important and is not in the written piece about, of course, we mentioned UNRWA or UN. Yeah, UNRWA, the UN Relief Agency for Palestine. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. So then I just mentioned it's a false dichotomy they offer when the D.C. crowd and either big political party tell us that there is discretion. Now, I don't approve of that money, but these are hypocrites. These are people who typically would include all sorts of welfare money going all over the place. But in this case, they pulled it away from the U.N. because the U.N. has spoken out about the Israeli genocide in Gaza. So it's another way to basically starve out those people in Gaza. And it's amazing to see the massive, towering hypocrisy of so many of these politicians. And let me give you an example of that in just a minute, thanks to sources from anti-war and some extra work that I did doing some investigation. I said, 'tis a false dichotomy they offer when the D.C. crowd in either big political party tells us there is discretionary and non-discretionary spending because most of the things they claim must be funded are not sanctioned by their U.S. Constitution. And I said, but, and this is key, even if they and enough state politicians ganged up to amend the Constitution and allow most of these things, that wouldn't make it morally justified for the government to forcefully expropriate any of my neighbor's cash. So let me know your thoughts, everybody. Now, with that stated, now I want to turn to, I want to turn to anti-war. And just show you what was inside the budget that people aren't discussing. Dave DeCamp had this yesterday, released it at 2 or 9 p.m. yesterday. Government funding bill signed by Biden includes $3.8 billion in military aid for Israel, and it cuts funding for the UNRWA. It's RWA. I keep forgetting about that. So there you are, right? That's it. I'll make myself small so this can really take prominence here. If you're just listening, I just made it big on the screen. Make myself big, as the cat would say. The $1.2 trillion government funding package that President Biden signed into law on Saturday includes $3.8 billion in annual military aid for Israel. Now, this is something that typically is in there, as we know, for the past, I don't know how many years they've been doing $3.8 billion. It's basically an automatic thing unless they remove it. So they didn't even discuss it. Nobody's even talking about this. And they want even more money after they already sent out $16 billion a few weeks ago to Israel to continue slaughtering people. And we know they're going after Rafah. They've been bombing it, and they're going to send troops in on the ground. And they've closed off basically 90-some percent of the food gates. They're not allowing food to go through. Unbelievable footage. If you got to see Grand Theft World last night, they had some amazing footage from all sorts of people, whether it's Young Turks. They've been doing great work on this. Al Jazeera doing excellent work. So many different people. Electronic Intifada, Jimmy Dore, just excellent, just amazing. And, of course, the Gray Zone. They were showing footage of Israeli civilians blocking at the Egyptian border, blocking food. And the Israeli and Egyptians militaries back off. In fact, the Israeli military encourages them, and they all sit down and enjoy food together. It's incredible. And they have testimony from the people like, oh, yeah, you know, they allow us to do it because it sort of lifts. It gives them, gives them a rationale that, you know, we're going to be stopping the trucks. They don't have to do it. And they're there every day or every other day. You know, this guy's like, oh, yeah, I'm here three times a week. I'll show it to you tomorrow. It's incredible. The U.S. provides Israel with $3.8 billion in military aid. You saw that in Article 9 zillion of the Constitution. Remember that? Remember those glorious days when you had the class in school and they were like, oh, this is the Israeli clause. Oh, yeah, I remember that one. That was fun. That was great. Wasn't that on fish day? Yeah, it was. We had the fish sticks and everybody had a great time. School was great. The U.S. provides Israel with $3.8 billion in military aid each year under a 10-year memorandum of understanding. Remember when you signed that? I remember. That was fun, too. That was on Taco Tuesday. We all got together and we signed that memorandum of understanding. That was awesome. I hope we can go back someday. Maybe get the doc and go back in the DeLorean to those glorious days of when we signed that memorandum of understanding that we'd give them our money to kill people and, you know, have bombs. Yeah. The $3.8 billion is divided into two categories, $3.3 billion in foreign military financing, FMF, which provides foreign governments with money to purchase U.S. arms. Get that stock in Boeing. Get it right away. Don't worry about the problems with the planes or what was that man's name? John Barnett. Was it Barnett? You know, who obviously, clearly, we all know. You know, he died by his own hand after testifying and being one of the greatest people with testimony against Boeing safety protocols that people have ever imagined. Yeah, even though he said he would never take his own life, probably did. Because when people say they're not going to take their own life, what they really mean is they're going to take their own life. And it has absolutely nothing to do with corporate murder. No. Shh. Quiet. You didn't see anything, penguins. Yes, and then they have the $3.3 billion in military aid, and then they have $500 million to fund Israeli missile defense systems, because it's just, you know. The pro-Israel American lobby group AIPAC, APAC, celebrated the signing of the funding bill and noted that the military aid for Israel is still unconditional. Isn't that great? They went on X. Yeah, even though they think that, you know, X is somehow filled with anti-Semitic people. Anybody who criticizes their policies of slaughter and genocide. Isn't that great? So let's just mention again here another headline. This one from America's Middle East, AA.com. U.S. Congress passes temporary budget, approves new military aid to Israel, halts funding to UNRWA. There's a lot more coming up with Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need. You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.